Most likely a fairly familiar passage to you if you spent any time in Sunday school when you were young. Mark 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. 15 years ago, right now, Kathy and I were in upstate New York, and we had done a wedding there on Saturday. And of course, it was snowing in upstate New York. But our minds were kind of on something else as well. It was a nice weekend away, but we had sold our house in Bainbridge, Pennsylvania, where we lived at the time. And we had bought our wonderful house here in Ashland. Now, we didn't sign the papers until May 31 in Pennsylvania and June 1st here in Ashland. But we were getting ready, and we were preparing, and we were kind of packing. But the real business got down to brass tacks at the beginning of June there. We knew we had to get packed. And we had 2 weeks to finish up there in the first weeks of June with what we had already begun. The thing was that Kathy worked right up until the day that we moved, and I had final things to care for at Kanoi Church, where I was pastoring before I came here, and load-up day was getting closer and closer, and we were feeling the pressure. And finally, this is why the thought of moving makes me break out into a cold sweat, okay? What would make my blood pressure go up? The thought of moving, okay? So we weren't quite ready on the day that it arrived, so my blood pressure was probably boiling, beside the fact that it was southeastern Pennsylvania. It was hot. We were definitely overwhelmed, and that's when friends from church showed up and helped pack and clean and load the truck. I had one guy that just pressure washed everything for us, my friend, it was Jim who did the pressure washing. My sister Carolyn came and completely packed the kitchen. Janelle and her husband, Mike, packed up the one section of the basement that had not yet been touched. All the while, family and church people and neighbors, all of them dear friends, carefully loaded that 48-foot trailer that was provided by yet another friend. All on the hottest, most humid southeastern PA summer day that you can imagine. And if you've been there, you probably just swelter thinking about it. We couldn't have done it without them. And then on this end, when we arrived here in Ashland the next day, our new friends who have become just as dear, folks from ABC, people from the neighborhood, Brad and Marianne even showed up. They didn't even know us, but they came and helped us unload the truck. They all came, all of you came and helped unload the trailer here in Ashland. What are friends for? Little did I know that I could just call on 250 Amish friends and they could have just moved my house here by hand. Here's a video that happened almost a year ago down in, let's turn these lights off too.
Of the Amish community arrived at the Hochstetler farm on Snively Road. Over 250 Amish men and others were there to help move a pole barn from one side of the farm to another. Shortly after 9 a.m., they spread out, surrounding the barn, and then they lifted. Walking steadily, they were able to maneuver the barn into its new spot. The entire process took less than 5 minutes.
Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? And they moved it a couple hundred yards.
From Northern Knox County, this is Joshua Morrison from MountVernonNews.com.
I could have just had my house moved here. Now, a pole barn is probably just a mere couple of tons, okay? I saw a house, another video, when I was trying to find this one because I had seen it. And the original video is about 5 or 6 minutes long, and it's moving. It's not just barn moving, it's moving to me to see people working together like that. A bunch of friends show up and help you move your house. I watched another video where a house that was, they said 500 tons. But it was being moved by people, by hand. This one's better because it's just so much closer to home. The passage that I read from Mark a bit ago is another favorite passage that thrilled me since I was a little kid, and it's cool to know that the children have had this in Sunday school and they're having it in children's worship again. They're getting this account of these men that come carrying their friend. It's been thrilling to me because for one thing, when I was little, it was really cool. You know, boys like tearing things up. And to tear up a roof, well, that's pretty cool. That was the best. Rarely did I think of it in terms of what really happened there. Like Jesus making it a teachable moment for the ever-present, ever-vigilant, frequently critical teachers of the law. And also, I didn't often think about how Jesus healed the man's sin first and then healed his body. I was just excited at the idea of a hole in a roof and a crippled man who was healed. Today's takeaway for this passage is the importance of friends. We can't live without them. We need friends, and we need to be friends just like these men. We don't know anything about these guys, really. We know they were persistent, and they were daring, and they were strong. We don't know if they were related to the paralyzed man. Were they family? Or were they just good friends? We don't know. But we do know they knew where help could be found. And they did something about it. And that's just yet another thing that we can learn from this familiar passage. What we see here is that friends make a huge difference for a number of reasons. And the first thing we see here, these friends made a difference by caring enough. They knew Jesus could heal their friend, and so they carried him to the house where he was teaching. Today, we just load him up into the car or call the squad. And we'd motor down to where Jesus was. No doubt, we'd have a wheelchair, or we could certainly borrow one for him. In a public place, there are ramps and special places for people with medical challenges. In most cases today, people would make room for the paralyzed person coming through the crowd. That's the way it is now. Not in the first century AD. There were no cars, of course. And definitely, there were no special handicapped parking places or places where you could wheel a wheelchair in. If you came up on a crowded room with Jesus on the other side of a wall of people, you were out of luck. You had to wait, and then you hoped that maybe he would walk past you and you could yell out to him, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us," which is what the lepers yelled in the account that we covered 2 weeks ago in the last message that I preached. That was what you hoped for. You hoped that maybe Jesus would come by. And that's the way it was, unless you had friends like these four guys. They cared enough to get him there. They cared enough to carry him. They cared enough for that wall of people not to be a barrier. All it was for them was a challenge to be surmounted. They cared enough for him that they took no care for their own safety or even the consequences of tearing up somebody else's roof. Their friend needed to get to Jesus, and they cared enough to get him there. Think about your friends. Who needs to get to Jesus? Who is so crippled spiritually that they are almost certainly not going to get to him without major help? Friends care enough to get their friends to Jesus. That's what friends are for. Just this morning, I watched a video of somebody who cared enough for somebody she didn't even know. There was an account that I saw on my news feed about a young lady who had a baby last Monday, and he was in NICU with some complications, and she was coming from the hospital with her mother when she saw a tanker truck carrying jet fuel on fire, and she saw this happening, and she saw people, because there's lots of video of it, because everybody was standing around with their cameras videoing this, but she saw a man inside the truck actually on fire. And this young mom with four kids, three at home and one in the NICU, said, "Mom, I'm going to do something about this." And she got out and she helped pull that man out of a burning truck. And as they walked away, she said that she looked at what was draining out of the truck, and she stepped in it, and she smelled it, and she said, "Honey, what were you carrying in that truck?" And he said, "Jet fuel." And they started running, and it blew as they were running away. She didn't even know this person, but she cared enough. But she cared enough. That's what we need to do. And sometimes, like in her case, somebody else helped her. It takes concerted effort. These men here in Mark 2 were much more effective when they were working together. Carrying someone is not easy. carrying them onto a roof is really not easy. Lest we think that these men heaved their friend up onto the roof using each other as a human pyramid or stolen ladders, which they may have done. It was somebody else's house. Why not get somebody else's ladder, okay? Lest we think that that's what they did, and they may have, okay? They may have. But probably this was a very common Middle Eastern house that had a flat roof with stairs leading up to it. And this was helpful because it helped with space issues in a Middle Eastern home. And also, it was cooler to sleep there in that hot climate. So they very well could have carried him up the steps onto the roof. Maybe not, but they got him up there. They still needed to carry their friend up onto the roof. And that took coordinated effort. They had to work together. A couple of months ago, Sheila and Andrew finally got some furniture for their house. They could teach Dave Ramsey a few things. They didn't get furniture for their house until they had the money for it. Novel idea. But they finally got some furniture, and one of the pieces was a very nice recliner sofa that was designated for the TV room on the second floor in an old house. Not quite winding staircase. Now, I was there because Andrew was at work and Sheila was at work, and I'm a pastor and I only work one day a week. And so I was there waiting for these guys to come with the furniture. And I knew that Andrew had measured and calculated and determined the sofa would fit and that it could be successfully transported up the steps. And when Andrew figures that kind of stuff out, it's right, okay? Engineering brain, okay? And so I knew that I looked at it and I looked at the sofa and I thought, I'm glad that those guys are doing it, okay? And so the three delivery guys from Farm and Home were still concerned, regardless of what I told them that Andrew had said. And so they measured and they pondered and they looked at the steps and they looked at the hallway upstairs. And actually, their concern was getting it around into the room once they got it up the steps. The steps didn't bother them quite as much. But they were concerned. But then they put their heads together and they designed a strategy and they went to work. And 2 minutes later, at the very most, the sofa was in the room, just like that. It was easy. It was a beautiful thing to watch, just kind of like the concerted effort of the Amish people carrying this pole barn across a field. It was a coordinated effort with encouragement and advice and no criticism. Just, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, way to go. And I loved it. And I told him so. I said, you guys are amazing. Working together is beautiful. And you guys exemplify it. And that's what made the barn moving so awesome. 250 people working in harmony, moving a barn in 5 minutes. And I know it was that way for these men here in Mark 2. They devised a plan, and they executed it, and they got their friend in front of Jesus. It's that way for us in the kingdom. For those of us who are in the kingdom, that's the way it is for us when we get others into the kingdom. I love those times when I get a call from someone telling me that someone is coming to town and they need a church, or they need an introduction to Jesus. They are calling on their team to work together. A number of years ago, my friend John Bouquet told me that he had run into Mike Davis, who was a member of our congregation who died in 2013. just 6 months before this, or about 9 months before Mike passed away, I got a call from John. Said, I ran into Mike Davis. He tells me he goes to your church. And we hadn't seen Mike for a while. I said, why don't you talk to him about coming to Bethel? You know, your baseball connections, they might be good. And John says, no way, man. We're going to get him back to your church. Let's take him golfing. And I said, me golfing is not witnessing. But instead, we made it a foursome, and we got Toby, who's a friend of John Bouquet. And we went golfing at Brookside. And we had a great time with Mike Davis because John was determined to get him back here to ABC. Not to his church, not to toot his own horn, but just working together. Teamwork. Teamwork. By the way, during that golfing, John, I tell people that when they want to go golfing with me, they have to sign off that they won't be embarrassed to be with me. And at one point, John says, Tyson, you really are as bad as you say you are. Anyway, it was still teamwork. It was teamwork. It was a clear case of working together. And that's what friends are for. That's what friends are. They're doing what it takes. They're doing what it takes. A friend here, in this case here in Mark 2, a friend needed to see Jesus. A roof needed to be accessed. A roof needed to be removed. A friend needed to be precisely in front of Jesus. These friends did what needed to be done. That's what friends do. You know the story. You've loved it since the first time you heard it. You know that these guys fearlessly went the extra mile. They dug. It's mud construction and stick construction with wood woven in there and packed dirt. And so they're digging through the roof, and there's stuff coming down on the crowd. They did what they had to do. They fearlessly went the extra mile. When we started Dinner Church back in the fall of 2018, our first video series for Dinner Church for the application time was by Bob Goff. And you remember the story of how when he was a teen, he went to his youth pastor's home because he had a scheme he lived in LA, to go and climb and work in Yosemite Park. He was going to go and live the dream, get a job so he could support himself and climb the different places that you can climb there. And so he stopped by his youth pastor's house on his way to share his plan. And he went unannounced because that's just the way Bob does things, okay? And upon hearing about this young man, this 16, 17, 18-year-old man's plan, the youth pastor packs his things and goes along with Goff to help him carry out this scheme. Now, Bob never shared how long they stayed at Yosemite. It sounded like they were there for a week or two or three, and he wasn't able to get a job, and his dream fizzled. And so after a time, they packed up and returned to LA. And when they got back, and how long was it? We don't know. But that's when Bob discovered the youth pastor had left his brand new bride home alone. They had just gotten back from their honeymoon or something like that. And he went along to accompany an impulsive kid on a crazy jaunt. That's what friends are for. I hope that that youth pastor never did that to his bride again, okay? And I pray that their marriage is still thriving, because that's not a good way to start. But friends do what they need to do to bring people to Jesus. And obviously, this youth pastor saw something in Bob Goff that helped him to be the blessing that he still is today. And a key component in all this is knowing Jesus. Duh. We have to know Jesus, and we know that it takes a lot of believing boldly. Believing boldly. Our text says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." When Jesus saw their faith, I'm thinking that the paralyzed man had faith. After all, he was seeing miracle after miracle happen as his friends carried him to Jesus. It was just a miracle that he got in front of Jesus. But certainly his four friends did as well, considering the effort that they put into this feat. They knew the payoff was at the end. Peterson paraphrases verse 5 like this: impressed by their bold belief, Jesus said to the paraplegic, "Son, I forgive your sins." Bringing our friends to Jesus requires bold belief. It means that we have to truly believe in our own hearts that Jesus is the answer for the world, and he is the only way, and he's the only truth, and he's the only life. And when we believe that in our hearts of hearts, we have the boldness to be Jesus to people and to tell them why. Let me ask again, who do you need to bring to Jesus? You need to boldly usher them into his presence, because that's what friends are for. And the results are amazing. The last verse of our text, and I've really only concentrated on the friends and their process and even verse 5. But the last verse, verse 12, says, upon Jesus' command to get up, take up his mat and go home, the man got up and took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." And you know why it was so amazing? Because it was amazing. It was amazing. It's amazing what God can do. And it's what he does all the time. He's in the sin-forgiving, body-healing business all the time. He wrote the book on it. He wrote the book on it. It's as if this man's friend's efforts took a back seat when the teachers of the law argued that Jesus didn't have the authority to forgive sins. They missed the point. But these friends, their amazing feat precipitated another God-ordained feat that showed the power of God revealed in God the Son. God does amazing things, and we can assist him in them. So, bring your friends to Jesus. That's what friends are for. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. And remember that the prayer corner is always staffed over here and ready if you need to pray. If you need to pray about, strategize about the friends that you need to bring to Jesus. Let's pray.